Let me pray for us. Lord, to quote the words that the same King David we just heard about once prayed, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you've been around Boulevard the past couple Sundays, you know that during Advent this year, each week we are looking at one woman whom Matthew names in his genealogy. So soon after we committed to that sermon series, I did the math. And I realized that Bathsheba would fall squarely in our traditional lessons and carol service. I have to admit, my first thought was, is that okay? Thankfully, I had a second thought, which was, yes, Bathsheba fits right in with the lessons and carols of Jesus' Advent. Not only is Bathsheba a literal part of how God sent his son, Bathsheba's experience also testifies to the reason why God sent his son in the first place. Now, of all the women named in Matthew's genealogy, we probably know the least about Bathsheba. With Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and with Mary, whom we'll look at on Christmas Eve, we hear their voice and we see their action. With Bathsheba in these chapters, we hear her voice only once when she sent a message to tell David, I am pregnant. Besides that, she unwittingly serves as the object of David's lustful desire and machinations. Bathsheba is a literary foil to David. She serves in this text to show what is lurking in the anointed king. If you'll notice this passage and throughout these two chapters in 2 Samuel, the narrator repeats the word sent many times. So for example, in verse 1 of chapter 11, which David read, we're told that David sent Joab. Verse 3, David sent to inquire about the woman. Verse 4, David sent to take her. And beyond the passage we read, David sent to Joab again. Joab then sent Uriah, who was Bathsheba's husband. Then David sent Uriah and sent a letter in Uriah's hand that sent him to his death. Joab then sent messengers to David. Finally, David sent for Bathsheba to move into his house. All David is doing in these chapters is sending. And David might like to think that his hands are clean. All he's doing is sending. But by the end, by the time David has exercised all his sending from his throne, he has committed an enormous sex and murder crime. There are two noticeable occasions when someone besides David or besides his lackey Joab sent in these two chapters. The first is when Bathsheba sent and told David, I am pregnant. And the second is when the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. David may not have seen what he did for what it was, but the Lord saw what David did exactly for what it was, and he sent Nathan to poke holes in David's fantasy. Nathan knows exactly how to speak to a sinner. He doesn't start out by talking directly about David's sin. He tells David the story of another rich man who stole and killed a poor man's pet lamb. And when David hears this story, his anger is kindled at such crass abuse of power. It's a kind of religious fervor that starts stirring in David, in judging another person by God's word. But friends, that kind of religious fervor is worthless. God's word never speaks to the other person first. No, God's word speaks first to you. And so Nathan strikes, David, you are the man. And for the first time in at least a while, David repents. Psalm 51 records his repentance for us. He says things like, Lord, have mercy on me. I have done what is evil in your sight. Cast me not away. Purge me with hyssop. David repents with God, and he repents with Bathsheba. Where once was unchecked lust, love begins to grow in David. Now, the consequences of David's sin are real. He may be forgiven, but the consequences still stand. The child he fathered with Bathsheba will die. But the consequences of God's gracious intervention are also real. David will repent. Bathsheba will mourn, but eventually she will find comfort. And the Lord will give her and David another son, who is Solomon. Also, Nathan will speak a second prophetic word. He gives Solomon, that son of David and Bathsheba's union, a nickname. He calls him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. God's love will rest on this son of David and Bathsheba. Now, last Sunday with Ruth, we saw God at work to redeem bitterness. This week with Bathsheba, we see God at work to redeem sin. Now, if we were writing the story, David would probably be canceled. And make no mistake, as offensive as what David did is to us, to the holy God, what David did is so much more offensive. Given that reality, the most surprising turn, I think, in this whole couple of chapters is not what David did. It's the fact that at the end, the name Jedidiah is pronounced. You see, God doesn't look at David and Bathsheba and say, hard pass. No, God looks at David and Bathsheba and he draws near to them hard. God takes a story of sin and turns it into a story of Jedidiah. God doesn't cancel, God loves. Paul will tell us that this is the gospel story. As he puts it in Romans, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The story is time and time again, generation after generation, individual after individual, we sin, and God bears the fruit of Jedidiah. We may wish that we could offer God a sinless story, but the fact remains for every one of us, we cannot. None of us can. What we can do is offer him our sinful stories and trust him to redeem them and call us Jedidiah. The Christmas story that Matthew traces is not poof, out of nowhere, God just showed up. I think in our last men's group this past Thursday morning, I thought Bill Shultons put it well. Jesus doesn't come onto the scene like Grogu, the child in The Mandalorian, a mystery with no known source. No, Matthew says that Christ actually has a traceable genealogy. And the line that he traces for Jesus, it comes to include a cast-along daughter-in-law, Tamar, a brave prostitute, Rahab, an impoverished immigrant, Ruth, and an objectified Bathsheba. In other words, what Matthew's genealogy is telling us is that Jesus took on our flesh. He took on our world, which since our first parents has long lay in sin and error pining. And according to the names in Matthew's genealogy, Jesus was particularly pleased to take on the dark margins of bitterness, of forgottenness, and of sin. In the passages that were read for us about David, no amount of sending that David could do would ever right the wrong. But friends, when God sent his beloved, when God sent the greater Jedidiah to be born of woman, to take on our flesh and our sin, and to rise over death, that sending, that advent, redeems the wrongs and gives life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.